Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the heartland of Israel. This is David HaIvri, a Hebrew in the heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, 11 o'clock Eastern in the United States. The show is available on the archive, on the show, on Israel News Talk Radio. Go over and check out my page, HaIvri, David HaIvri, and share the show with your friends. Send me any comments, because I am looking forward to hearing from you. Last week we spoke about the Western Wall, the new area that was allocated for the Reform Jews to pray in mixed company, men and women together. And we'll be touching on that today, still, being that today is the 17th day of Tammuz, Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, the fast, where we are mourning for the destruction of the temple. And customarily, Jews gather at the Western Wall to pray. Did Jews gather at the area that was designated for the mixed prayer? At least one Jew did, and we'll be speaking about that on the show. We're also going to be speaking about the manipulation of the term anti-Semitism for political means. Are people accused of being anti-Semitic, even if they're not, because some political people have a agenda, or political movements want to tarnish them as anti-Semites, even though they're not? Are some people who are not, is anti-Semitism used to protect people who are not acting in the name of the Jewish people? We're going to be speaking with Brian of London, who is a social media personality, he's spoken about this issue, about Tommy Robertson in London, in England, and about George Soros, who currently is under some type of campaign in Hungary, and some people claim that that was an anti-Semitic claim. I'm not sure about that, so I'd like to hear what Brian has to say about that. Anyway, stay tuned. After the news break and the commercials, we're going to come back and have a really exciting show speaking about things that are important to you for Israel. Again, this is David HaIvri in the heartland.
Hi, this is Heather Dean. Is your home sweet home just a place to hang your hat? Check out The Modern Jewish Home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. for practical advice from a wide variety of experts and innovators about relationships, getting organized, growing your business, nourishing your body and soul, and even having a good laugh. So make yourself at home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Israel time on The Modern Jewish Home here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the land, to the heartland of Israel. This is David HaIvri, a Hebrew in the heartland, on Israel News Talk Radio. Every Tuesday at 6 o'clock Israel time, 11 o'clock Eastern in the United States. The show is available on the archive on Israel News Talk Radio, and you are welcome to tune in and to share the show with your friends, and to send in any comments about the show and questions. Last week we spoke about the whole issue of the Western Wall and the space that the Reform Movement has been demanding for prayer for mixed groups at the Western Wall. We spoke about that a bit, and as far as I understand, those who are wanting a place, or those who are behind this campaign, are not satisfied yet. The government actually, the Israeli government and the Jewish agency, actually set up a place for the Reformed to have mixed prayers at the Western Wall, at the southern part of the Western Wall. And today I saw a video. Today is the 17th day of Tammuz. It's a fast day. We are fasting and mourning for the temple, for Jerusalem, actually for five different things that occurred on the 17th day of Tammuz. I'll share some of that with you from Rabbi Eliezer Melamed's book, Pnine Alacha, about the holidays. Pnine Alacha is a very nice, easy, user-friendly book of halacha that describes the Jewish customs and laws and so forth. So I'll read a little bit from this. I'll translate from the Hebrew. I've got the original Hebrew copy. And I know that Pnina Elacha is becoming available in English. There are more and more editions of this collection that have been translated into English. So you could go over to the Har Bracha library, to the Har Bracha Yeshiva library, and check that out. Or if you're interested, and you can send me a line and I will look up a link for you for these very nice books, if you'd like the English translation. Anyway, today is Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. It's a fast day. We're fasting from the early morning hours till the after sunset, after dark. It's a day fast. There are four major fasts in the Jewish tradition. There's the third day of Tishrei, the Tzom Gedaliah, and then there's Yom Kippur. Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, the 17th day of Tammuz, is today. And 3 weeks after Yud Zayin B'Tammuz is the fast of Tisha B'Av. Two of the fasts are fast from morning to evening. That means that from the time that we get up in the morning, from sunbreak till sunset, we fast. Those are the two lighter fasts, and there are two heavier fasts. There's the Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, where we fast from the sundown, from the day before until sundown the day after, a full, I guess, about 25 hours. So today is the fast of Yud Zayin B'Tammuz, and we are basically mourning for the temple in Jerusalem. Again, I'll read off some of the halachot, some of the descriptions of the halacha of the law from this book by Rabbi Eliezer Melamed. In any case, I saw a video today that someone posted on social media. Actually, member of Knesset Bezalel Smotrich, I saw on his feed that he shared a video by some fellow, and he actually wrote, "I don't know this fellow, but I agree with what he's saying. There's a lot of wisdom in what he's saying." And the fellow who is speaks in Hebrew in this video, but from his accent, he is apparently from an English-speaking country. And he presents himself, his name is Eden Einav. I don't know Eden Einav, and I don't seem to be following him on social media. So if you are following him, if you know Eden Einav, please feel free to connect us, because he's an interesting guy. I appreciated his video. It's the first time that I've seen a video by Eden Einav, and he filmed this video at the southern part of the Western Wall that was designated for the Reform Movement, who asked for an area for a separate, for mixed prayer, for families, for boys and girls to be able to pray together differently than customary at the Western Wall Plaza, where there is a separate prayer area for men and for women. And Eden, he filmed himself there with Talit and Tefillin praying. And he said there's all this commotion that the Reform Movement wants a place for mixed prayer, and I'm here and there's no one here. And today is the 17th day of Tammuz, which is a very important day where we pray and mourn for the temple. And it's surprising that this place is so empty today. He said that he himself needed to come here to pray in order to fill this place with some spirituality and some prayer. So that's some smart criticism of those who are making so much noise claiming that they want a place to pray. And here the government has provided a place for them to pray according to their own traditions, and they're not using it, which is strange. Anyway, getting back to the 17th day of Tammuz, actually, we see a couple of different fasts here. There's the 10th of Tevet, which I didn't mention. Oh, there are four fasts aside for Yom Kippur, I'm sorry. And I didn't count the 10th of Tevet. Winter. And now I'm looking for, I'm here in the book, looking for the Zayin B'Tammuz, the 17th day of Tammuz. Before the show, to see some of the things, some of the reasons, the explanation for the 17th day of Tammuz. So it says here that our wise men, Chachamim, told us in the Mishnah that there are five things, five very bad things that happen on the 17th day of Tammuz to our fathers. One is Nishberu Haluchot, the Shtei Luchot Abrit, the Ten Commandments, were written on stone. Moses, Moshe Rabbeinu, went up to the mountain, to Mount Sinai, for 40 days and 40 nights and learned the Torah. And then he came down with these two tablets, the Ten Commandments. And they fell and broke, because when Moses came down the mountain, he found that the children of Israel had lost patience waiting for Moses to return with the word of God. And they had created the golden calf. And Moses was so upset that they had built an idol that he lost control. He was not able to continue to hold these tablets of stone, and they slipped out of his hands and they broke. So this occurred, the calf, the golden calf, and the stones, the tablets that were broken on the 17th day of Tammuz. Batel HaTamid. The Tamid was a sacrifice. It was the most important sacrifice that was given by the children of Israel in the temple. Every day, the Tamid is always. And this stopped happening on the 17th day of Tammuz. Ufka'a Ha'ir. The Romans broke into the city. They broke the walls of the city of Jerusalem on the 17th day of Tammuz, which ultimately ended in the destruction of the entire city of Jerusalem and the temple in Jerusalem and the end of Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel at that time. Hufka'a ha'ir, the walls were broken through. Saraf Ofus Tomus har et ha'Torah. Ofus Tomus was a Roman commander, and he burnt the Torah on this day. So we mourn for the Torah. Ve'imid selem be'echal, and he placed an idol in the Echal, in the center of the temple in Jerusalem, in the most holy place of the temple in Jerusalem, he placed an idol. So for these five reasons, we fast on this day, on the 17th day of Tammuz. Now, I am fasting, and I have a couple of hours to go till the end of this fast, and I don't like fasting, but this is something that we do in our tradition to repent, to find the way back to Hashem. And we feel that every day that the temple does not stand in Jerusalem is as if it's the same day that the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. So we pray that the temple again stand on the Temple Mount at that holy place in Jerusalem. Last week I spoke about the Western Wall, which is considered a place of gathering and prayer. Some people mistakenly think that it is the holiest place to the Jewish people, which is not true. Actually, the Temple Mount is the holiest place to the Jewish people, and the Western Wall is holy because it's the Western Wall of the Temple Mount. And that is the closest place where Jews can go with no special arrangements. Jews are allowed to enter the Temple Mount, which is administered by the Waqf, by the Muslim religious council. Jews can only enter for a very short time each day, and Jews are severely monitored to make sure that they're not praying on the Temple Mount, which is very sad. Well, we're going to take a short commercial break, and hang on after the commercials. Hopefully we're going to have a very special guest who will speak with us about the two ideas that I mentioned at the beginning of the show regarding the manipulation of the term anti-Semitism and used for political goals to bash or to support different political figures. So come right back after this short break.
Why are so many non-Jews interested in Judaism? Why are they so curious? Did you know that the prophets of old prophesied about this, and it's happening now? I'm Rod Bryant, the voice of the righteous in the nations. If you want to understand this and much more, tune in to Israel News Talk Radio for Beyond the Matrix. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Join us at my new time every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Israel time and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Hey, we are back. This is David Ha'ivri, a Hebrew in the Heartland, on Israel News Talk Radio. I hope that you enjoyed that short break and that you show some interest in the advertisers at Israel News Talk Radio, because they allow us to do what we're doing and to be on the air. So go over and check out the links to the advertisers and see if they have any services that you might be interested in. While I was on the break, I saw an interesting quote by Israel's general counsel, Ambassador Danny Dayan, who is in New York and is there for the Jewish community in the tri-state New York area. I think he's doing an amazing job. He's a good friend of mine. He is actually a resident of the Shomron, Danny Dayan. I'm giving him this promo, but he's not going to be on the show right now. I might have him as a guest in the future, but I would like to share the thoughts that he, I heard in his quote. It was like an audio link. He was speaking in Hebrew. If it was in English, I might even have included some of his words here on the show. That's a thought. Maybe I'll get him on in the near future. He's a great guy. And he was speaking about the same issue regarding the Western Wall and the Jewish community in North America. And he is concerned for the future of the young next generation of the Jewish community in America. And he said, it is our responsibility, the responsibility of the State of Israel, to hang on, to help the Jewish community in the diaspora to preserve its Jewish identity. That is our responsibility, because we are our brother's keeper. And he said that he specifically said that he didn't mean to be criticizing the government. He said, I am speaking to the Israeli society. The Israeli society needs to feel this responsibility for our Jewish brothers and sisters in the diaspora. And I appreciate Danny Dayan's thoughts and his words that we need to embrace the Jewish community in the diaspora and to help them connect with Israel and to help them connect with their Judaism and to be part of the nation of Israel, because we are our brother's keeper, and we do have a responsibility to be a light not only onto the nations, but onto our nation, to the nation of Israel, the Jewish people around the world. He was commenting on some media journalists who were calling the Israeli consulate in New York and asking for leads on American Jews, rich American Jews who had decided to stop their financial support for Israeli causes as a type of a punishment to the State of Israel for the failed Kotel deal, the deal with the reform movement for the Western Wall. And he said, that's not the issue here. He said, so some journalist found out that some wealthy American Jew cashed out his Israel bonds for $1 million. Big deal. So what? That's not what the story is about. And I have spoken in the past on the show about the phenomenon of fake news. The media have a lot of power. They can make a story. They can take some ingredients and put them together and mix them up and make that into some kind of story that they wish to expose. So when this occurred, and as Danny Dayan was describing, journalists from Israel were calling up the embassy and saying, give us names of philanthropists who are stopping their support to Israel because of the Kotel deal. That's a form of fake news. If it was obvious, they wouldn't need to make so much of a commotion to seek out these individuals. And if they found someone, so what? You're always going to find someone who is directing his finances and his tzedakah, his donations to one cause. And then at some point, he might change his mind because of many different reasons. He might have been insulted. He might have changed his mind. A fundraiser might have made a great impression on him. And whatever resources he had available that he was directing to one cause, he might have diverted them to another cause. He might have become bored with whatever the cause was that he was donating to. In this instance, they're speaking about someone who cashed out his Israel bonds. Israel bonds is a fund. It's not a donation. He's not giving money to Israel. He is banking his money in Israel bonds. He could be investing his money in other places just the same. So it's not a big story. It's a little story, and it's kind of a, it was here. He said in America it wasn't even spoken about at all. That wasn't discussion. Wasn't about will American Jews stop their support for Israel if the government of Israel doesn't give the reform movement enough space at the Western Wall to pray boys and girls together. I feel that I've spoken about this a lot in last show and the first segment of this show. And the end, after the Israel's government has provided the space, it's not even really being used. So what's the point? I asked, are the people who are behind this campaign, are they looking for a solution to a problem, or are they looking for a problem to a solution? Are they just trying to cause chaos? And speaking about chaos and people who like to cause chaos in the United States and in Israel, and now we see in Hungary and in South Africa and many different places, there's a campaign that we've been hearing about in social media, a campaign going on in Hungary against George Soros. It's funny that Soros in Yiddish, now I'm not an expert in Yiddish, but in Hebrew we say tsarot, and in Yiddish they say Soros, and that means trouble. And there's a fellow whose name is George Soros who donates a lot of money to anti-establishment organizations in all different places. In Israel, he is heavily invested in the extreme left wing, in all of these organizations, and in other countries as well. And now in Hungary, there's a campaign going on with a poster of George Soros, and it says, don't let Soros win. And someone claimed that this is an anti-Semitic campaign because George Soros happens to be Jewish. But that is not true. It's not fair to say that anything that George Soros, anyone who opposes George Soros' international meddling is anti-Semitic because George Soros is Jewish. Because the same thing that he is doing in Hungary and in America and in other places, he does in Israel. So he is opposing Israel's establishment as well. And so it is totally legitimate to oppose the activity of Soros in different countries, as and it should not be considered anti-Semitism just because he's Jewish. If they were saying, stop the Jew, if they were putting up posters, Jews are meddling in our internal affairs, and Jews are meddling in our banks and taking over our businesses and so forth, then of course that would be considered anti-Semitism. But if they are pointing at a specific person who just happens to be Jewish and saying, don't let this person win, that doesn't consist of anti-Semitism. Now, on the other hand, now there's another event that I wanted to discuss, and that is the organizations, the movements in England and in Europe who are anti-Islamization, who don't want the Islamic invasion of their countries. They have their own cultures, and here they've opened up their countries to immigration, and many immigrants from Islamic countries have moved into their countries, and they are affecting the culture of those nations. There are neighborhoods that are totally Islamic, and there are other problems that these immigrants are bringing in with them to different countries that the people of these countries are suffering from. So there's such a movement in England that is headed by a fellow whose name is Tommy Robertson. And I saw some posts by Jewish organizations or Jewish papers in England who said that they are against Tommy Robertson. And I don't agree with that automatic automatic alliance with the Islam. Now, I'm not anti-Islam, by the way, but in this case, I think that the Jewish leaders should examine well if a person like Tommy Robertson has he made any anti-Jewish statements. He is surely pro-Israel, and I met him here in Israel, and I've seen his statements of support for Israel. So I would definitely choose, if I have to choose, someone who supports Israel and someone who typically does not support Israel, I would surely choose someone who supports Israel. I'm trying to get a guest on the show who has a lot to say about both of those issues. And I'm going to try to get Brian of London, who is a social media personality, and he has also been in contact with Tommy Robertson, and he has also dealt with these issues. So I hope to get him back after the break. We're having a short break now. Please don't go away. You won't be sorry. See you right after the commercial.
G'day, I'm Jono Vandoor.
And I'm Ross Nichols.
Join us on our program, Israel on My Mind, a show that broadcasts all the weekly goodness that flows like milk and honey from the Holy Land straight into your ears with humorous and happy news stories.
New shows are posted every Thursday at 7 p.m. Israel time, highlighting the lighter side and advancing a positive view of Israel here on Israel News Talk Radio.
You've come to the best station for hot news and sizzling commentary. Atem makshivim le-Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Welcome back to the land of Israel, to the heartland. This is David Ayivri. On this segment of the show, we're going to have a very special guest. We're going to be speaking with social media personality Brian of London, who is going to tell us about Tommy Robertson. We're going to speak with him about George Soros, and we're going to ask if the term anti-Semitism is manipulated for political means. Brian, welcome onto the show. Come and tell us about Tommy Robertson and his work.
Well, the root, Tommy Robinson is a campaigner against the worst aspects of Islam in Western society. And so that is about the encroachment of Islam into the lives of non-Muslims in the West. That is what Tommy Robinson is concerned about. And he's concerned about that in Britain, where he lives, and in the town of Luton, where he grew up, and where he has seen the effects of what's happened as more and more Muslims have moved into the area, and they have brought with them a style and a performance and a nature of Islam that wants to impose itself on non-Muslims, and it affects their lives. So that's who he is. And he's been campaigning about this for a long time, since about 2010. And I became aware of him a long time ago. And immediately the media brands him and people like him as far right or other nonsense terms. And then they want to put them in a bucket with neo-Nazis and racists. Now, Tommy is neither of those things. He is most definitely not racist. He's grown up with people of mixed race all around him. And he's not an anti-Semite too. He barely knew who Jews were. But when he did sort of start understanding, especially Israel, and especially what Israel means to Jewish people, he started saying, well, he saw the parallels that I see immediately. Israel is the place that has been reclaimed after an Islamic conquest. Britain is the place that's trying to stop being conquered by Islam at the moment. And that's the parallel he sees, yet people call him an anti-Semite today, and it's totally unfounded and totally wrong.
So, Brian, what I would like to ask you is the opinion of the British Jews regarding Tommy Robinson, and why is it that we see Jewish organizations or publications in Great Britain who are accusing Tommy Robinson of being an anti-Semite and calling on people not, on Jewish people, not to have any, not to show any support for him?
So, what has actually happened? What happened, about a week ago, some people in a private capacity asked Tommy Robinson to come and talk to them, because he's been doing, he's had a sort of a long, an amazing career, I would say, in advocacy. It seemed to come to an end when he was sent to prison on a, it's too long to get into the details here. I'd say it was a trumped up charge to get him off the streets and to shut him up. But when he came out of that, He has, since he's been out from prison, he's written his autobiography, which is a very, very powerful explanation of the persecution the state put him through. And he's also then gone on, and he's joined with some people, Rebel Media, who he makes videos with, to highlight some of the things that the British press just do not want to highlight. He's talking about the massive numbers of Muslims Peter Phillips rape gang, and he was affected by that issue years ago, because he had actual cousins and members of his family who were taken. And since he raised it, and since the EDL, which was the organization he founded, raised it, so 7-8 years ago, it has now entered the public discourse. So it's common knowledge now, that in places like, Rotherham, and Rochdale, there have been huge scandals. And there's more to come, more to find out. Anyway, back to the Jewish thing. What happened was he met with some Jews. It was not a secret meeting. It was, Tommy mentioned that he was giving a talk, and that the audience was predominantly Jewish, I think. And following this, the Jewish Chronicle, which is the sort of paper of record of the British Jewish community, last week they published four articles about this meeting, two news articles, two opinion pieces, all coming to the conclusion that any Jew who talks to Tommy Robinson is literally an enemy of the Jewish people. I think some of it was directed at me, which is quite funny. But this isn't just a Jewish organization. This is the Board of Deputies of British Jews. This is the umbrella organization of all Jewish organizations in the UK, speaking through the Jewish Chronicle. It's an amazingly powerful attack on Tommy Robinson, which leaves me, I'm just perplexed, really, because I know him. He toured Israel with me at my invitation in November. He paid for his ticket. It wasn't a sort of an organized trip by any Zionist organization or any other nonsense. And I know him. I've known him for quite some time.
So here we have a guy who has been to Israel as your guest and has expressed support for Israel, for Zionism, is friendly to the Jewish people, and for some reason, and that's what I'm trying to figure out, why is he being called an anti-Semite, or why are Jews being told not to be friendly with him?
Okay, he has a very strong and clear opinion that Islam has some very, very deep structural issues, and that there's very, very big problems with the core beliefs of Islam. He makes an absolute distinction every time he talks that this, of course, means you cannot go out spreading hate about all Muslims. This is obvious. You know, Islam is an idea. It is a set of ideas. You can talk about that. You can criticize it. You cannot go out and produce hate against all Muslims. That's what he's clear on that. I'm clear on that. Everybody I know that I've ever worked with in this is clear on that. But that's the fundamental distinction. But yes, he is a harsh critic of Islam. But I think, you know, we're living in times now where people in the name of Islam are doing some very, very, very bad things. And we need to be able to call them out on it.
So what are the Jewish organizations trying to say?
What the Board of Deputies and what the Jewish Chronicle will claim is that he's only using this as cover to gain support. Well, you know, I watch his social media. I see the comments that get left on his Facebook page. Just today, in fact, someone made a video ranting at him, like really swearing at him because he's a Zionist. You know, so basically, his support of Israel comes at a cost because there is a real anti-Jewish, anti-Zionist, both far left and far right. And by Tommy putting a flag in the ground and saying, I support Israel, I support Jews in their indigenous homeland, he's doing that because he knows that it is the right thing to do. He is not doing that to gain any element of support. He doesn't need the support of the people of the Jewish people in England. It's not. He'll get it because I think many of them see past the attitudes of the Board of Deputies and the attitudes of these, because when push comes to shove, a lot of these are the same Jews that say to you, living out in Samaria, that you're not allowed to live in the Shomron. I mean, this is crazy. They're the same Jews that want to hand back all that. I'm driving now out of Kerskitsa. I look to my right, I see the hills. They want us off those hills. These Jews, let alone the anti-Semites, let alone the Muslims, let alone the far left and the Palestinian people, there are Jews in England, and I think it's that constituency of Jews that is trying to tell me that I'm not allowed to befriend Tommy Robinson. Well, you know, I'm not listening.
Brian, on the flip side of this conversation, I would like to bring up the issue of George Soros. And this is a fellow who is meddling in political affairs around the world, who is supporting all of these radical left-wing organizations. And now when in Hungary they say, don't let George Soros win, some people are saying that that is an anti-Semitic attack. How does that work?
This is absolute nonsense. George Soros is an individual. Now, he is an incredibly powerful individual because of two things. One, he made a lot of money, and the way he has chosen ideologically to deploy that money. And I, whenever I look around at anything going on in Israel, I see an NGO, and then I go back, if I have a little dig around, perhaps I look at NGO Monitor's website, and I look at the funding stream, it all leads back to Soros. Soros funds all of the far left, hard left organizations that do terrible things in Israel, trying to make us basically give in and submit to Islam and lie down and sit dimmy. That's what I see George Soros pushing in Israel. Across Europe, I think he's responsible for a vast amount of the migration that's taking place, which is not. The vast majority are not refugees. The vast majority are economic migrants, and they're being encouraged to flood into Europe by organizations paid for by George Soros. So I dislike George Soros. I dislike what his organizations do. You cannot call me an anti-Semite. I don't use that word. I say Jew hater. You cannot say I hate all Jews because I dislike the ideas and actions of this one Jew called George Soros. The fact that he claims Jewish heritage is totally incidental to my dislike of everything he stands for and everything he does. I think that's a fairly clear way to put it.
Brian, I want to thank you for being on the show and for sharing with us your understanding of these important issues.
It's really good to have a chance to speak out on these things. I love talking, and I love the work that you do out there, and I like that you're holding the high ground because, you know, it's so phenomenally important. All right, thanks.
Well, that was Brian of London, who you can find on Twitter, and this is David Ha'ivri, who you can find, of course, all over social media and on Israel News Talk Radio. And feel free to send me a message and comment on any part of the show or any issues you would like me to be speaking about in the future. And, of course, I look forward to seeing you here.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.